we opened Masterpiece Cake Shop back in 1993, we knew there would be many cakes that we wouldn't be able to create.
Colorado baker Jack Phillips talking about his presentation at the 2021 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, July 23rd and 24th in Chicago.
Cakes that were anti-American, contained profanity, or denigrated other people, including people who identify as LGBT. The cake that took us to the Supreme Court was a cake with a view of marriage that was opposed to the biblical teaching that I believe, and as a follower of Jesus, I can't go against it. But it's always the message of the cake, never the person asking for the cake.
You can meet and hear Jack Phillips of Masterpiece Cake Shop making the case for the freedom of conscience at this year's Making the Case Conference. The premier conference for Christian laity is Friday, July 23rd and Saturday, July 24th at Concordia University, Chicago. You'll find a conference schedule and you can register at issuesetc.org. I really did not expect to still be discussing this particular man's case so long after he first appeared on the national scene. Jack Phillips was on the national scene because he was a baker in Colorado who refused to make a wedding cake for a same-sex marriage, and he ended up in the Supreme Court, and he is still in court over those very things. A man who, according to his conscience, acting according to his conscience, says, the state can't make me violate my conscience. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to talk about freedom of conscience, and joining us to do so, Jack Phillips. He's owner of Masterpiece Cake Shop in Lakewood, Colorado, and author of the new book, The Cost of My Faith. Jack, welcome back.
Well, thank you for having me, Todd. I appreciate it.
And Jonathan Scruggs. He is senior counsel for Alliance Defending Freedom. Jonathan, welcome to you as well.
Thanks for having us, Todd.
Jack, what is the biggest public misconception about your decision to refuse to make a wedding cake for a same-sex wedding?
I think the biggest misconception is the media portrays me as a man who won't serve gays, but I serve everybody who comes in my shop. I just can't create every cake that people ask me for because of certain messages that some cakes express.
Jonathan, what is the current status of Jack's situation in the courts? How would you summarize it?
Yeah, sure. Well, Jack has been involved in numerous kind of litigation incidents, and the latest is he had been sued by a lawyer activist in Colorado for declining to create a cake celebrating a gender transition. And just in the end of March of this year, we had a full-blown trial where Jack testified and his wife testified and his daughter testified. And so we're waiting for a decision from that trial. And once we get that decision, then both sides can appeal. So really a situation where, just like all of Jack's cases, the issue is, does someone have the right to speak and act consistent with their religious beliefs and to promote messages consistent with their beliefs? So these are really important issues of religious freedom and free speech that are hanging in the balance.
Jack, tell us about your journeys to the Supreme Court.
Well, I guess it started back in 2012, July 19th. It was a Thursday afternoon. Two men came into my cake shop and asked me to create a cake for their wedding, and it was same-sex wedding, obviously, and I wanted to explain to them. I told them, sorry guys, I don't create cakes for same-sex weddings. They kind of looked at me like, what did you just say? And I said, you know, I'll sell you birthday cakes, shower cakes, sell you cookies or brownies. I just don't create cakes for same-sex weddings. I had hoped for more conversation so I could explain that it was my faith that I based that decision on, and I gladly served them, but I couldn't create a wedding cake because of the inherent message that a wedding cake has. Like, if you think about it, if you were at a hotel and you walked into a conference room and you open the door and you see a cake on a table back in the corner, you know you're not at a business meeting. You know automatically that it's a wedding that's going to take place because the wedding cake has an inherent message. So I hope to be able to explain that to these two men, but instead, you know, one of them jumped up, he flipped me off, he swore at me loud enough, turned every head in the room, and stormed out of the cake shop. And then the other man did as well. He went over, and his mom, I didn't notice her, but his mom was sitting at one of the tables nearby, and he had a folder in his hand. He picked that up, went over, gathered her up, and they went out, and I what in the world just happened? I've never had anybody swear on me like that before, just that angry. This situation has come up a couple of times where people have asked us to create same-sex wedding cakes or ceremony cakes. And we were able to explain our faith and our stand and that we would gladly serve them, but we couldn't create the cake because of the message of it. So these two men stormed out of my shop, and so that was kind of stunning. I'm like, what in the world just happened here? So I went back to work, and just 20 minutes later, 25 minutes later, the phone rang, and somebody said, are you the man who just refused to serve two gay people? I'm like, what? You know, what happened here? I don't know what's going on. No, I would never refuse to serve anybody, but the two men asked me to create a cake that I couldn't create. And so the caller swore at me and hung up. I'm like, what in the world just happened? So twice in 20 minutes, people are swearing at me. And both of them are misconceptions. I serve everybody. I just can't create every cake. And then another phone call and another phone call and another phone call. And it was close to closing time. And so I answered the phone right up until we closed, and then I thought, I'm not answering the phone anymore tonight. This is crazy. You know, what's going on? And so on my way home, I went to the Stop at the grocery store, and I'm just thinking, everybody here hates me. Everybody's going to call me. Everybody knows what just went on. And then God gave me 2 Timothy 1:7. It says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. And I wasn't afraid. It wasn't that, but the verse says that he gives us a sound mind, and I knew right then that God was in charge of this whole deal, that I didn't have to fear anything. Nothing could happen without his permission. So that was the start of the journey. Then it continued with phone calls and hateful emails, including death threats, just craziness for the next few days. And then I got a call from Focus on the Family, and they wanted to know if I wanted to do an interview. So on that Tuesday, I did an interview. Wednesday, it went on all their radio stations, and then things got even crazier with people calling me up to support me, people calling up to condemn me, people calling to threaten me and my family, and just life got pretty crazy. So we went on from there with all this craziness going on. We went to the administrative law court, which isn't actually part of the court system. It's part of the executive branch. And so the governor Hickenlooper, appoints the judge that sits on that bench, and he also appointed the commissioners on the Colorado Civil Rights Commission that were filing the charge against me. So if you notice, the case is Masterpiece Cake Shop versus the Colorado Civil Rights Commission, not against the two men. So our case went through that commission and that administrative law court, where they found me guilty of breaking a law, an anti-discrimination law, which is crazy because I didn't discriminate against anybody. Just the hostility of the government shouldn't be allowed to punish me for standing up for my faith and creating cakes that are consistent with my faith, or not creating them, as the case may be. But we were found guilty in that court, and the Civil Rights Commission not only gets to accuse me, they get to sentence me. And so they said that from now on I had to start creating every wedding cake that people asked me for, whether it was a same-sex wedding or not. And I'm thinking that the government shouldn't be able to force me to express any message, but they were. So we went through that trial. They said that I had to change my policy and start creating cakes for same-sex weddings or any wedding that came across my desk, regardless of what it was. Somebody could even come in and ask for a wedding cake with an adult theme, you know, like a pornographic theme, and I wouldn't be able to help design the cake or anything. I would just have to do what they said. I also had to retrain my staff, which at that time also included my 88-year-old mother, and explain to my staff, including her, the errors of my ways and that we were going to have to change the way we did business. And my mom told me flat out, says, I won't be retrained. So I said, thank you, Mom. I love you. So we went on from there to the Court of Appeals. It's quite a journey. And we lost at the Court of Appeals, 3-0. The next step would be to file a petition to the Colorado State Supreme Court. And they have the ability to decide which cases they take, which cases they decline. And they declined to hear our case. And so we were either done and we lose, or we appeal to the United States Supreme Court. And that was the only option left. The United States Supreme Court only hears less than 1% of the cases that are presented to them every year. They get 8,000 to 10,000 cases presented, and they can only handle about 70 or 80. And fortunately, they did agree to hear our case, so we got to go to the Supreme Court. The day that they did announce that they were going to hear my case was another crazy day with lots of phone calls, media, newspapers, magazines, all wanting to cover the story. And one point during that day, we had someone call me up and ask me to create 38 wedding cakes and have them delivered to 38 states. I'm like, that's ridiculous. You know, we can't do that. Somebody else asked us to create a wedding cake for three people and a computer all getting married. And that one actually went to a federal court where the federal court dismissed it. The person sued me because I wouldn't create that cake. But also during that very same day, the day that the court announced our case, an attorney here in Colorado called us up and asked us to create a cake that was blue on the outside and pink on the inside, and those colors were to celebrate a gender transition. I didn't know it at the time, but that case would soon evolve into what we call Masterpiece 2. So anyway, we go through the United States Supreme Court, and that was in December of 2017, and in June of 2018, the United States Supreme Court ruled 7-2 in our favor, and we won. And in that ruling, they also said that the state of Colorado was hostile to me and my faith and didn't treat me equally with other cake shops in the city who were allowed to decline to create cakes because of messages, and the messages were about opposing same-sex marriage. And so they all declined to create those cakes, and the Civil Rights Commission said they shouldn't have to. You know, they're declining the message. And I said, amen. You know, they shouldn't have to. They are declining the message. So was I. So we went on from there. But we won the case because of that hostility and the unequal treatment. And we're thinking, you know, we're done here in court. Get to go on. But 3 weeks after we get that favorable 7-2 ruling, the Colorado Civil Rights Commission took up the complaint about the pink and blue cake, and we started all over again.
We're talking with Jack Phillips about freedom of conscience. He's owner of Masterpiece Cake Shop in Lakewood, Colorado, and author of the new book, The Cost of My Faith, and Jonathan Scruggs, senior counsel for Alliance Defending Freedom. You can meet and hear Jack Phillips at the 2021 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Chicago. He'll be joined by Mark and Molly Hemingway, Dr. Larry Rast, Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, Dr. Robert George, and Pastor Will Whedon. Attendance is limited. Find out more and register at issuesetc.org or give us a call, 618-223-8385. Making the Case, Friday, July 23rd and Saturday, July 24th at Concordia University in Chicago. Well, he kind of left us hanging there. Where does this current lawsuit about a pink and blue cake stand with Jack Phillips? And a little bit later, we'll talk about what lessons he's learned and, well, was it all worth it? Stay tuned.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to our beloved on-demand listeners, Issues Etc. continues to rank among the top podcasts in Christianity. You can help us climb the charts by subscribing, rating, and reviewing Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit the subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will help make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc. Help us cast Christ's net on the internet. Subscribe, rate, and review Issues Etc. today.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House. Listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House. cph.org.
This fallen creation is bested by tornado, hurricane, flood, pandemic, and more.
LCMS Disaster Response helps our congregations, their pastors, and other church workers to reach out to their members and neighbors with mercy which flows from Christ's altar. We offer quality volunteer training, help for congregational readiness and response, and disaster grant funding. To learn more, visit lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
Bahama Mama, Ocean Pacific, Paradise Island. Retreat from the heat with a shaved ice snow cone from Tropical Snow in Caseyville, Illinois. It's right across the street from Collinsville High School. Tropical Snow is open weekdays from 1 to 9 and weekends from noon to 9. Premium snow, epic flavors, lots of love. Tropical Snow, across the street from Collinsville High School at 2134 South Morrison Avenue in Caseyville.
Did you know that Lutherans are helping new American immigrants get settled? How about struggling church workers in need of support and refreshment? And we assist at-risk children and provide disaster response to hurricane victims. Through LCMS recognized service organizations, we are doing all this and more. I'm Rahema Kavuga of Lutheran Church Extension Fund, and I don't want you to miss out on hearing what your brothers and sisters in Christ are up to. Visit interesttime.org to see how your support gives life to these works of mercy and love.
For your next family vacation, consider Our Beach House, a charming three-bedroom vacation rental on beautiful Siesta Key. Just off Sarasota, Florida, Siesta Key Beach, consistently voted America's best, is just 100 steps away. Whether you're watching the sunset over the Gulf of Mexico or frolicking in the warm surf, you and your family will fall in love with Siesta Key. Check us out at SiestaKeyRentalGenie.com or call Virginia at 941-266-1858.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkham. We're talking freedom of conscience with Jack Phillips of Masterpiece Cake Shop and Jonathan Scruggs of Alliance Defending Freedom. Jack, before the break, you mentioned the request to bake a gender transition cake that has resulted in another lawsuit. Where does that one stand?
That one, that was what we call Masterpiece 2. That one went to, we were being deposed and proceeding through the system on all that stuff. And I was sitting in the conference room waiting for a deposition, which a deposition previous to this, if I'd have seen deposition in a TV show or read it in a book, I would have no idea what it is. But a deposition is where the opposing counsel has up to 6 hours to basically cross-examine you and try and trick you in your words, trying to trap you and twist what you say and destroy your credibility. And so I was prepared to do that. I'd been working with Alliance Defending Freedom on how to defend myself and how to be careful what I say. And at that point, they just before we started, opposing attorneys said that they wanted to have a private meeting, and that private meeting said that they wanted to dismiss the charges against me. And so we had a federal case against them, and their charges were dismissed. Our federal case went away, and so we're thinking we're done here. But 3 months later, the attorney who sued me decided to sue me in civil court. So we're in civil court and a full-blown trial, like Jonathan was saying, here in March, and now we are waiting for the court to announce their decision on that.
So, Jonathan, what was the basic argument before the Supreme Court on Jack's behalf?
Yeah, I think they're kind of two basic arguments. One was a free speech-focused argument that the government can't force someone to speak a message they disagree with, and that includes people, regardless of the faith, whether they're Christian or non-Christian, and regardless of the topic. And that even protects people from being forced to promote views of marriage they disagree with. And these are principles that should go both ways, that should apply to both sides. So that was one primary argument. And the second primary argument was really targeting an infringement of Jack's religious beliefs. So you could see that as some of the things Jack mentioned before, that the state of Colorado really was singling out and treating Jack unfairly and differently than others solely because he held certain religious beliefs and other people didn't. And I think that's exemplified by the fact that Colorado allowed those other bakeries to decline to create cakes with messages they disagreed with. But when it came to Jack, they said, look, Jack, even though you disagree with this message on this cake, you've got to still create it because of your religious beliefs about marriage. And that's really just singling him out because of his religious beliefs that the government doesn't have the power to do. So you had those two arguments that were the primary arguments before the court, and they're really somewhat similar arguments. They really focus both on free speech and free exercise, but those are the two major arguments that we put before the court. And the court in its decision focused primarily on the free exercise, the religious freedom aspect, that it's just not right for the government to single out and treat people differently because of their religious views.
So what kind of questions did the justices ask during Masterpiece 1?
Yeah, they were very active, and you can still even go online and listen to the oral argument or read the transcript. But they were very active because, you know, they're asking questions about both the free speech arguments and the free exercise argument. A lot to do with, well, why did the government commission officials say this? Or what is the limiting principle? That's often a big issue for judges. Like, how far does your legal theory go? And they asked both sides those questions. For example, could you force someone to participate actively in a wedding ceremony? For someone to cut a cake in a wedding ceremony they disagreed with? Or what would be the effect of ruling in your favor? But they really did single and hone in on the other side and really ask deep questions about to the state about why did these commission officials in their statements and in their treatment of others, why did they single out Jack's religious views? And the overarching message of the court is that people who hold traditional views about marriage, they must be treated with dignity and respect. They can't be singled out and, you know, equated to people with negative views. And that's an important ruling that has gone a long way since that decision in Jack's case and all his prior cases and really in a bunch of cases across the country.
Jack, have you encountered any LGBTQ advocates who actually understand your moral convictions and agree with your principle?
In fact, we have. One day, back a couple of years into this whole ordeal, a local radio station decided to do their broadcast from our shop for the entire day. And we normally open at 7 in the morning. That day, we opened at 5. And the first person to come into my shop that day came up to me and said, I'm behind the counter. Hi, my name is Mike, and I'm a gay man, and I just came to see what's going on here. I said, hey, Mike, how are you? What can I do for you? We talked a little bit. He came back later that afternoon because the radio thing was still going on, and we've become friends since then. And he even, when we were in court back in March, he even testified on our behalf. He wrote an article for a local newspaper, an op-ed type deal, saying that I had the right to do that because I wasn't discriminating against people, that I was declining to create a cake because of my faith and my belief in what marriage is. I also have a transgender person who identifies as transgender who comes in regularly with COVID, not so much. I've only seen him twice in the last year, but would come in, I'd say, every 2 or 3 weeks, and even wrote me a letter saying that how welcome he always feels here when he comes in. So we've had a great deal of support that way, and it's been very encouraging besides just the, you know, people who, you know, with more conservative views or whatever, people who understand the issues that I can't be forced to create every cake that people ask me to.
Talk about the media attention that you have received, Jack.
You know, the media has been good and bad. We've had a number of editorials and articles written about us, and that's one of the reasons why I decided to write my story, because I wanted my kids and my grandkids to know, you know, what actually happened that day and, you know, the ensuing years since that day back in July of 2012. What happened that afternoon, what happened since, including the media and the different things that I've experienced. But the media has been favorable many times, completely against me at other times, and most of the articles are factual but not necessarily true, and so we decided to write this book so that we could say what actually happened, what, you know, what the truth is. And the book also gave me a larger platform then to share my faith and to go beyond just explaining what those issues were. So we get to talk about that in media as well.
So, Jack, what lessons have you learned during this ordeal?
The biggest lesson that I've learned is that God is faithful. He's provided everything we need. We're not going to get to the end of this deal and think, well, I should have hired better legal counsel. There's no better counsel in the world in defending these kind of cases than the Alliance Defending Freedom. They're defending so many cases besides mine with clients who are being forced by their governments to express messages or create things that go against their faith. And every American should be free to live and work according to their conscience. And at the very beginning, my wife and I, before we ever opened Masterpiece Cake Shop, sat down and decided what kind of cakes we would create, what kind of bakery this would be. And we decided at that time that there were cakes that we couldn't create, including cakes that celebrate Halloween, like I was saying, or cakes that would denigrate other people or disparage or insult people, cakes that were anti-American or racist. And so we drew those lines in the sand. And I think one of the main things that I learned is that, you know, we can't cross those lines, but those lines have to be worth it. And my faith in Jesus Christ is.
Jonathan, what legal principles have been established or upheld with the Supreme Court ruling in favor of Jack's principles?
Yeah, it's really the principles that I mentioned before and that Jack mentioned about people of faith should be treated fairly and equally, and that even includes people who hold traditional views on marriage, that these principles, both of religion, even of free speech, should apply both ways, that in the same way we shouldn't be forcing an LGBT artist to create artwork criticizing same-sex marriage, we can't be forcing Christian artists to create artwork celebrating same-sex marriage. And likewise, we certainly shouldn't stand for government officials singling out and targeting people because of their religious views. Our religious beliefs have been protected since our founding, and protections for religious freedoms, these protections really go together, that when you see countries that protect religious freedom, they also protect free speech, economic liberty. They're all really bundled together in practical effect. And so the Supreme Court really took a strong stand in rejecting both as a legal principle, but also really a lot of the rhetoric you see today trying to accuse Christians of discrimination simply because they hold traditional views on marriage. So we're really excited about that decision. And like I said, it's been used subsequently to protect other entities and people of faith, such as adoption agencies, photographers, people really across the gamut, that governments must respect religious liberty, and that's the most important principle that came out of the Supreme Court decision.
Jack, has it been worth it?
You know, as I look back and I think of all the different things that have happened, the trial that we just went through and we're awaiting the decision, and the person who's suing me actually had a face-to-face meeting during mediation with this person, and this attorney told me that if I were to win this case or it were dismissed on a technicality or anything like that, that I would get a phone call the next day with another cake order and we'd start all over again. This person also asked me earlier to create a cake with Satan smoking a joint, and I looked at those things and I think it's still worth it because these rights that we have are unique, pretty much unique to our country. They've never happened before. Our government was founded by people who didn't have a model to work from. God gave them the wisdom to create our Constitution protecting these valuable rights. And if we're able to stand here and be the ones that get to fight this battle along with Alliance Defending Freedom, we're honored to do that. We just want to do the best that we can and honor Christ in everything that we do. And yes, it has been worth it, and we would do it again.
Jack Phillips is owner of Masterpiece Cake Shop in Lakewood, Colorado, and author of the new book, The Cost of My Faith. Jonathan Scruggs is senior counsel for Alliance Defending Freedom. You can find a link to The Cost of My Faith at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. Jack and Jonathan, thank you very much. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, Todd. It's been a pleasure to be here today.
Yep, thank you so much.
When we come back, it's time to jump back into the Book of Proverbs with Pastor Jonathan Fisk of The Mad Christian. We'll be picking up in the middle of Proverbs 26, talking about the lazy man.
When we open Masterpiece Cake Shop back in 1993, we knew there would be many cakes that we wouldn't be able to create.
Colorado baker Jack Phillips talking about his presentation at the 2021 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, July 23rd and 24th in Chicago.
Cakes that were anti-American, contained profanity, or denigrated other people, including people who identify as LGBT. The cake that took us to the Supreme Court was a cake with a view of marriage that was opposed to the biblical teaching that I believe, and as a follower of Jesus, I can't go against it. But it's always the message of the cake, never the person asking for the cake.
You can meet and hear Jack Phillips of Masterpiece Cake Shop making the case for the freedom of conscience at this year's Making the Case Conference. The premier conference for Christian laity is Friday, July 23rd and Saturday, July 24th at Concordia University, Chicago. You'll find a conference schedule, and you can register at issuesetc.org.
Providing artillery support for the church militant on the front lines, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Is your school or homeschool ready to take the next step in teaching students with learning challenges? We can help. The Simply Classical curriculum, voted number one for special learners, is available from Memoria Press for students with autism, learning disabilities, or Down syndrome. We provide everything you need for a full year. Use promo code LPR21 at simplyclassical.com. Simplyclassical.com.
Not everyone is comfortable with new technology. Dial A Podcast gives all generations of your congregation an easy way to hear your sermons, or even devotionals and Bible studies. Once you've completed a simple one-time setup, we take care of the rest. All your congregants have to do is dial the number from any phone to listen to your latest podcast, all at no additional cost to them. Dial A Podcast. Extend the reach of your sermons. Get started at dialapodcast.com now.